master's degree in something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, hey.
Hang on. Let me do it right here. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
For those of you listening by recording right now, I unbuttoned a couple of my buttons to show my chest hair. Both of them.
It's the accent. Now, I happen to live in Florida. I happen to live in Kathleen, Florida. Kathleen, Florida, home of Kathleen Hair Care and Auto Repair and Used Appliances. Yes, we have Kathleen Hair Care Appliances. It all in one place. It's one place. You can get your hair done inside, get your tire changed outside, and their son has started selling used appliances that sit out on the front porch with for sale signs on them. Okay? If I come to Oregon and I say, "How y'all doing? Good to be here tonight," your people are going, What kind of moron is this? Even your people are going, "Hey, I can't understand a thing this guy's saying. Where's he from? Okay, what's he, Spanish?" You know what I'm saying? So what do I, as a speaker, what do? When I'm in Mississippi, I talk just a little bit Mississippi. I'm not overdoing it. I'm not going, "How y'all doing?" But I'm just, there's a little bit of twang to my voice. When I'm in Oregon, I will speak clearly. I will enunciate. You won't hear me say "y'all" and "you'ins" for the Pennsylvania people. Stuff like you won't. Why? Because I want to, as Paul said, though we don't like his writing. Okay. Right, I think, yeah, Paul said it first. When in Rome, do what the Romans do, okay? So we, that was stolen from him later on, okay? Yes, living by life. I think the message was in there, Peterson's fault. Okay, so let's imagine today, right now, we're at the Tower of Babel. Our languages were confounded. What would we do? We would look for people's inflections. When you're in a place where you don't know people, I live in the Dominican Republic. I'm often thrown into situations where I don't know people. I don't know the language. I don't know whether they speak Spanish or Creole, anything in there. We have 15,000 Russian families live on the North Coast. I don't know what I'm walking into. What do? I walk in and I look for facial expression and I look for that. So we are all defining the people we are looking for. Okay. And it's the same way with those who are seeing us. Many of us were raised in a church, a specific kind of church. We spoke a particular type of language. There's a Baptist language. And Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. Let me go to my 20-somethings back here. Right now, you've got 10 seconds. Tell me what the word propitiation means. Right. She heard me. She was stalling for time. That's what I would have done too. Propitiation. There's a Pentecostal language. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. So good to meet you. How are you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Right? I almost did a horrible joke right there and I stopped myself. I was so close. So close, my friend. Thank you, Lord. There's a Catholic language. Okay? And we need to understand who our people are. One of the things that I ask, the first thing when I get, if I ever come out and speak at your groups, the first thing that I will ask you is I will want to see your response card because I will want to know how we're going to work there. But the second thing I will ask you is, I said, tell me about your group. What percentage is Catholic? What percentage is Protestant? Why? Because all their money's green to me. Okay? My job is to make you money. It's not, I don't care if you give me a whole group of atheists, I'll get the most money out of those atheists you can bring me. Okay? All right. That's my job. OK, that's what I'm not there to tell my story. I'm there to tell your story. I'm there to make you money. OK, anything less than that is a failure on the behalf of the speaker. OK, but I want to know who your audience is. You know them. I'm walking in fresh. You know, I often change the way I dress dependent upon the audience. I always want to be in a fundraising situation. The rule is you should always be dressed a little bit better than your audience, because the person who controls that
controls the room. You're thought of as the one who is in knowledge. So when I'm going to a fundraiser here, I didn't put the coat on just because, but I'm going to be in a coat. You say, Mike, it's hot where we are and we just do casual here. Fine, I'm going to be in a coat. Why? Because I understand that people want to sense that there is an authority figure and that that person is speaking and that person knows what they're going to do. I need to know my audiences. There are banquet no-nos. You don't need to have your person who's given a testimony talk about that they came to Christ and that very week we went down and we were baptized in the creek. I threw some Mississippi in there in the creek. Okay? It's creek. Okay. Sometimes people say, I came to faith, I came to Jesus, and I realized, and I got baptized. You got to be careful. The way you say little things puts a twist on you. Oh, baptism, that means you're Church of Christ, your baptismal regeneration. For the same reason, most of you have doctrinal statements, and our center has a doctrinal statement. Okay, we're a CareNet center where we are. We have a doctrinal statement, but we can't have Messianic Jews. Our your very own doctrinal statement, you know that, doesn't allow you to do that, because Messianic Jews, for the most part, do not define the Trinity as three people. They define it as two people. Now, do we hate them? Are they going to hell? You better believe it. Right off to hell. Boom. There you go. Okay, that's what's going to happen. No. Of course not. Of course not. Sorry, I shifted into Pentecostal mode for just there for a second. Woo! Honolulu, I want to go there. And so, no. You see what I'm saying? But there are things that we say and the way that we say them that disconnects us from people. Seventh-day Adventists. Some of you probably know some Seventh-day Adventists. Some of you taught that they were a cult. Okay? I never knew what they were. Okay? Until I started going to some centers and there are people working there and got to know them. Wonderful. Good, godly people. They worship on Saturday the way Jesus did. That's horrible. They need to stop that and do it the way modern church did. Okay? Sorry, a little sarcasm there. You notice that? Notice that right there? Okay, but there's all these things that we have to be careful with. By our words we shall be condemned, or by our words we will be reconciled. Okay? We have to be careful. We have to know our audience. You don't want to talk about divorce. You don't want to talk about, let me tell you the testimony, and you tell me if the video should have been edited. I had 3 abortions. Each time I had the abortion, I came to the pregnancy center. I talked to them. I had a pregnancy test and I decided to have an abortion. And then the second time I came in and I decided to have an abortion. And the third time I decided to have an abortion. But the fourth time I decided to give life to my baby. What's wrong with that? It tells me that 75% of the time your organization failed, doesn't it? As a businessman, do I want to invest in a 75% failure rate? Tom, would you invest in that company financially that 75% of the time, and that was their star pupil? That was their video person. See what I'm saying? Mike, you don't know the people we work with. I do, but I'm saying you just edit that out. You don't have to tell the whole story. You know, you don't have to put in the part. And I remember, and this was in Oregon. I remember this one was in Oregon. Or maybe, no, Washington State. Excuse me, Washington State. Washington State. The girl gets up and she goes, yeah, so I was having trouble with my husband and I was pregnant. I went outside to smoke a cigarette because we all know that's what people love to hear when you're pregnant, that you're out there smoking. And I was smoking and I looked at a license plate. No, it was Oregon. And I saw Oregon and I said, thank you, Lord. And I realized that was God telling me I need to leave him. So I left him that night and I moved to Oregon. And then there was a fire in the apartment. I had to throw my other baby out of a window. What? We're going to show you in just a minute how you can do any testimony at your center in 6 lines. What are we saying? And you're responsible. Tamara, if you approve that 4-minute video, You're responsible for it. You're responsible for what your center puts out. You're responsible for it. What is your center saying? Okay? You've got to be the one that says, okay, who is my audience? Who are they? Write it down. Who's my audience? What is this audience going out to? Is it going out to donors or clients? Don't send a donor video to a client video to a donor. They're two different people. Don't do it. Think. I love Ravi Zacharias says, let my people think. We need to do that. We should be the wisest people because we're stopping and asking for wisdom. We need to quit shooting ourselves in the feet and in some cases, both feet. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what anybody who represents you says. We need a different approach to every group. I love. What do? We save the lives of children. We transform at-risk families to thriving. And we do it again tomorrow. I also love. And we help post-abortive women find peace. I love that. That's simple. That's to the point. It doesn't have any of those words that are words that that lead us into other directions. It just kind of keeps it simple. Right there. And because that's what you need. We've got to know who we are. And when we see the folks, we know if I'm talking with a client, I'm going to start a different way. Our center is women helping women. Pause. Make decisions that they can live with and be happy with for the rest of their life. We're not here to judge you. We're here to be a partner with you in whatever decision you make, whether you choose life or whether you abort. How many of you do post-abortion counseling? How many of you do pre-abortion counseling? Okay, you don't do pre-abortion counseling? You all have done it. You all counsel people who are having abortions after you counsel. So it sounds to me like you're doing pre-abortion counseling. To be honest with you, I'd advertise that I was doing pre-abortion counseling. That seems very, very friendly. Didn't like that one, Mike? Was that too?
No, I like it. That's pretty edgy.
Well, wait till you read womenhaverights.com. Okay, take another card out. Let's look at there's three separate identifiable groups. You're going to need three cards here for this. First group is going to be a client card. Just put client up at the top and put number one, abortion-minded client. Number two, put abortion-vulnerable client. Number three, put women or families in need. Okay, abortion-minded client, just put abortion-minded. AV, abortion-vulnerable is the two. Women in need or families in need is number three. And you can even put on that card post-abortive, okay? Because we don't always know whether the post-abortive falls into the Christian side or the non-Christian side. On another card, you're going to put your donors, okay? That's going to be a donor card. And donor would fall into two or three different categories. The donor would fall into active donor now, potential donor. I don't like to call them potential donor. That puts a question mark. I like to call them future donors. Okay? Because, you know what, Tom, I'm not coming to you to hope to sell you. I'm coming to sell you, brother. By the way, you're going to have all my CD collection before this is over. Okay? Okay? And the third one on there would be underperforming donors. Oh, don't we have a lot of those? We have a lot of people who have potential to give us a lot, but they aren't. The third card you'd write down would be civic leaders. And pastors. There could be some other different groups in there. And I'm going to ask Gordon in just a second to talk about specifically talking to pastors for just a second and a couple things. So you get ready for that, Gordon. But let's talk. Do we see any other categories we need to add to that group? Oh, Okay, so you have resources that are out there in the county and the state and public connections. Okay, exactly. Very good. Very good. So divide up. When we talk to those possible donors there on that third one, now we put pastors on that third card. But the fact of the matter is, other than pastors, those others don't necessarily mean Christian. What if I took you to, is it Reno? Oh, Carson City, Nevada. The pregnancy center was four doors down from Planned Parenthood. They had such a good relationship with Planned Parenthood. When Planned Parenthood left, Planned Parenthood gave them their new ultrasound machine. There are two different centers that I have spoke at multiple times, okay? And notice when they said the most booked, they also said the most rebooked, okay? That's what puts me over the edge because people bring me back over and over. There's some centers I've been at 5 years in a row, okay? Now, here's the deal. Every year I go there, they go, remember, Mike, this is the place where the director or assistant director of Planned Parenthood comes to our banquet. Tragic. What if I told you she supported them for $50 a month? I tell you, wouldn't you like to get some of those Planned Parenthood people on your side? I can just see a couple more Abby Johnsons coming out of that. Amen. Okay. I'm not treating them like the enemy. Not at all. You know, I hear people all the time. I remember I was in Texas a couple of years ago and I asked the director, I said to the director, do you have any abstinence programs? Because I want to know, as I'm representing you up there, I got to be able to tell them everything you do and why this is the place they need to support. Okay? Because I'm going to stand up there and tell them there is no other place in their community where they can be pro-life and see a child alive because of their gift. There's a lot of great organizations that will do a lot of good work and will do a lot of things and hopefully do a lot of bills and pass a lot of laws that will change everything as it's done so far. But there's no place in your community where you can give other than, no, it's not on your name, other than Save a Life. Where you know that your dollar or $1,000 gift will mean that somebody will be alive next year for it. Okay? So I've got to know my audience. All right? So I want to know, what was I asking about the last thing that I said I was going to ask about? I wish we could roll this tape back. That would be so, let me find where I'm at. I'll think of it in a minute. Okay? Oh, I talked to this, I said, what about abstinence education? And the director said to me this. No, we don't do abstinence education. She said, oddly enough, though, she said, I know the director of the public schools, and I was offered. Oh, good. That's so helpful with the rap. I think it was like, ooh, yeah. Okay. And so I did not know we were rapping at this Carinet over there. So here's the deal. She said, I was offered the job to be the abstinence director for all of the schools in our area, and they were going to pay me money, and I was going to be able to go in and teach abstinence. I said, oh, wow, praise God. Teach abstinence in the school. I said, how's that work? She said, I didn't take it. Why not? She said, because I would have also, because of the Texas regulation, I would have also had to teach them how to use a condom. Oh, boy, perish the thought that we teach a kid how to use a condom. What 3-year-old doesn't know how to use one right now anyway, but for the two that don't. Okay? I said, now help me out. You could teach abstinence, have full access to all the schools, but you'd have to show them how to use. Yeah, she said, I said, how would you have to do that? She said, I would have to put a condom on a banana. Okay? You couldn't have put a condom on a banana and showed how easy that condom breaks? Oh, I didn't think of that. You couldn't have put that condom on the banana and show them how that may protect the banana, but doesn't protect everything around that. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. You couldn't talk to them about the failure rates of this and use that condom as a banana and use that as a perfect example of why this can't be trusted. You couldn't have talked about how the banana ain't a heart and there ain't no condom for a heart. Oh, hadn't thought of that. And so what did we do in our thank you, Lord, for wisdom? God dropped the opportunity to be in our lap. But we were so stinking religious. I'm afraid to tell somebody there's lights up there. They already know. You think these kids don't know? I dare you to flip on your phone and go to Google and punch the button images and just type the word nude and push it. And you want to see what our kids have access to beyond parental control because it's in the Google search value and they have no concept. That doesn't come to you on your little Focus on the Family, see what my website my kids are downloading, because these are Google flash images that they can pull up, and they can pull up thousands of them and see anything they want to. We've got to be smart, folks. We've got to identify the audience that we're looking to and speak to them. So I'm going to speak to a client, not in my words. I'm not going to pull out my threefold brochure that tells all about the center and we lovingly care for children and rescue them. No, I don't want to talk to her about rescue. I want to talk to her about we are women helping women. Okay? Now, I don't want to talk to my client, my donor that way. Okay? I want to say to my donor, we're actively rescuing children. We're pursuing abortion-minded women and helping them make the right choice. But that isn't the message that I want to lead with to my client. Civic leaders are different. Mike, give a civic leader example. Okay, if I'm talking to a Kiwanis Club, a Rotary, maybe a what's the other one? Optimist Club. I could never join the Optimists. I never thought they would last. And what's that? Yeah. Well, let's separate them from pastors. Let's separate civic, not pastors. I'm not going to go in and talk about abortion. Why not, Mike? Are you not anti-abortion? Come on. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to tell them how your center is transforming the face of the community, because now you're taking children who are being born to mothers that never had a good mother. And we're going to teach them how to be a good mother. Now you're going to get the family and the kids off of welfare. I'm going to tell them how you're taking fathers who've never had a good father to be an example to them. And you're going to train them in your Earn While You Learn program. And you're going to turn out good fathers and you're going to change the community. And now you've got men who are getting jobs instead of smoking crack. I'm going to tell them how the future of the community is going to be changed. The business possibilities are going to be changed. Everything is going to be transformed in your town, and we're part of that because we're taking at-risk people and moving them to thriving. That's all I need to give them the message. I didn't even go in there. We want them to leave filled with the Holy Ghost. No, no. Only one Pentecostal in the room. You're it, Bonita. God bless you. The others, they aren't even tracking with me tonight. God bless you. I'm with you. I'm with you, honey. I'm with you, honey. I used to work for Jimmy Swaggart years ago. That made everybody think when I said that, didn't it? Gordon, now what's the difference in dealing with pastors? Gordon, talk to us. Talk to us. Yeah. Off the sun. Gordon's going to talk to you about pastors. Gordon, pastor. Okay? Talk about pastors.
Okay. You may want to feed me a question or two along that line, but I can tell you this. I've tried to get pastors involved with our pregnancy center for 30 years, and it's the hardest thing I've had to do. They are afraid. They're afraid of what others might think. They're afraid of what their congregation might do. They're afraid that they might lose people. They won't preach on it. They won't teach on it. They won't come to meetings. And it's hard. It's discouraging to try to get them involved. If you're going to call as a director and try to have a lunch, we put on big lunches because pastors will come to a free lunch and just say, hey, we want to thank you and bless you for being pastors and just tell you a little bit about what we're doing, because most pastors have no clue. Yeah, we're a fairly small center. I mean, we see 900 client visits this year. I think 182 new clients this year. So I'm not sure how that numbers compare, but we have 60 churches on our mailing list. 8 churches support us financially. My little church, it has an average attendance of 30 to 50. We're the number 2 most generous supporting group to our center. And that's not because of my leadership. Well, hopefully a little bit, but you know, it's there, the baby bottle's there, and it's up front, but it's hard. There's pastors with all different backgrounds. Most of them don't know that 1 in 4 women have had an abortion, and there are people in their congregation that desperately need to know there's healing for those people that are right there. And pastors, part of what I share when I speak at banquets, I'm kind of an inner city church right outside South Philadelphia. In fact, my center is in Chester. If you read the stats about 3 weeks ago, Chester's now the number 2 worst city in America for drug, alcohol, and murder rate. Less than 1 in 20 make it to age 16. We just had a shooting 2 blocks from our church. Again, it's a tough area. So, you know, we have those kind of issues, and it's across the board. So as a pastor, they're afraid, trying to connect with them. There are ways to connect. We try to get them to come in at pre-lunch and maybe invite them to pray at an event. I love the volunteer. Are you going to talk on the volunteer? Okay, we'll get to that.
Let's do a sample conversation. I'll get close where you can hear this, okay? Let's do a sample conversation. I run into Gordon. Gordon's a pastor. Now, there's a couple things I know about Gordon, okay? It just says he's representing all pastors, okay? One out of six of the Gordon in my row has been directly involved with an abortion and has never told anyone about it. Okay, do you understand the statistics there? So how's that going to play in what's happening in Gordon's mind? Possibly he's going to say, last thing I need is for my wife to get involved with this and all of a sudden want to tell my church. Because what can happen to a church, Gordon, whose wife pops up and goes, by the way, I had an abortion? What could possibly happen?
Well, she could be gone. He could be gone.
Their family could be ripped up. The kids taken out of school. Why? Because wife confessed something that happened to them back before she was married or back when they were in Bible college. Do you understand the situation? So remember that. So I have to come at the past. You know what I'm also dealing with? I'm also dealing with, Gordon, let me ask you a question. Where does an aborted child go when he dies?
I believe they go to heaven.
Are you sure? You believe that?
I'm answering for other people or for myself.
How many of you believe an aborted child goes to heaven?
Yeah, I've taken most of the answers.
How many believe that most people who are born don't receive Christ?
Yeah.
Okay, one.
Yeah,
two.
The road is narrow, right?
The road is narrow, okay? All right. There is a group of pastors that we have dealt with. We dealt with this a couple of years ago. Karen had asked me to do a presentation called Why Pastors Aren't Supporting Your Organization. I taught it. It's probably still available in the archives. But what I did is I started calling pastors that I knew all across the country from working with pastors. And pastors said, Mike, I've got to be honest with you. In some ways, we feel like it would be better for a child to be aborted and go to heaven than be alive and half of them go to hell. Okay, and people go, wake up and smell theology, people. Okay? You might go, I don't agree with that. I don't believe in that. They're wrong. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Okay? Don't kill the messenger because the messenger is willing to speak the truth. All right? So this is part of the mindsets that are going through. You've got one out of six who's had an abortion he doesn't want to talk about. You've got a group of them that feel that maybe it would just be better. They look at the horrible stuff. They watch 60 Minutes and they see the tragedies that take place in these kids' lives. And they go, it would be better for this child to be with Jesus than it would be there. They go back to Jesus' statement, would it be better for this person to not have even been born? Mm-hmm. Okay? Their theology is skewed, yes, but it's still their theology. It's still how they believe. So I have to come along with Gordon and I have to say, Gordon, I happen to know I love your church. I love your heart. I love what you're doing. I know that you as a pastor are being pulled at every angle. You're not just burning the candle at both ends. You've got it lit up in the middle at a couple of places. Okay? I understand that. So what our organization wants to be, we want to partner with you, Gordon. Okay, I want to be that pregnancy center to help young ladies make a good choice. I want to be that center that takes these young girls that don't have a mom. You don't have the staff to take them on. We're staffed. We're ready. We're trained. We want to be your partner. Now, here's the thing, Gordon. You know, if you started this ministry, it would cost you $100,000 a year to operate. Gordon, I'm asking you to have this ministry as part of your ministry. I'm asking you to give us $100 a month. Gordon, just from a statistical standpoint, a business standpoint, it's a pretty good deal.
It's a very good deal.
You see how I'm dealing with the pastor? I'm coming to, which is great. I'm going to shift you out of this right now, which is the second part of knowing your audience is knowing what's in it for me. Every person you're talking to has a what's in it for me factor. Okay? So when you're selling something, I don't go, hey, you got to support us because we're doing this. You got to help us out because look at, we're saving the child. You got to help us. I want you to give us a check for $1,000 tonight because this is what we're going to do with it. Okay? No, I want you to give us $1,000 tonight and I want a gift of at least $2 a day on top of that because in doing so, you are going to go home knowing that you saved a life. Every day when you wake up, you can get up and take that breath. And when you're standing in the shower thanking God for life, you can say, you know what? My life is counting for something. My life is counting for something. I am rescuing the life of a child today. My support of the Pregnancy Care Center is rescuing somebody. See, we've got to say, how are you going to benefit from this too? It's not just all about us. If it's all about us, the people will go away very quickly. We have to help them be part of that. What is your message going to say that brings them into it? Our takeaway points today from this are this. Unless you know who you are talking to and what motivates them, you'll not be able to effectively communicate your message and much less move them to a different point of view or to give to you. Okay? Number two. Unless you know who you're talking to. Okay? Identify your target. There's a quick one. Identify your target. Do the same thing you did when I put Paul and Gordon up here. Figure out who you think they are. You can do that a lot easier now. We have internet. You can search people's church and church background. Tom, do you have a question? Are you?
Yeah. Can I offer one? Can I just offer
you one? Can. You can.
So, on the offer that says that question is, you guys, everybody's going to learn about the product that Karen has coming out, and some of you may already know about it, but let me ask you a question. What's the number one reason why somebody becomes a pastor?
The money.
They're called, right? But what is their mission? What's their goal? To spread the gospel. So when we're talking about reaching your audience, and you're talking to a pastor about helping keep babies from being aborted, is that their primary mission? No, their primary mission is to share the gospel. So if you're going to speak to a pastor and get a pastor involved, you want to speak their language and frame this as a mission. Your mission is to reach these women and men who are facing pregnancy decisions for Christ. And now you've got them engaged. So Making Life Disciples, that's the whole purpose of our new Making Life Disciples curriculum, is to teach churches how to engage in this as a mission and reach these people as a missions group.
Good point, Tom. And CareNet has a product coming out to help them do that soon. Okay. What's the name of it? Making Life Disciples. Hey, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to talk about that in our other seminar that we're doing on reaching men. But let me talk about that for just a second. CareNet presents itself as not just the life-saving group, but the abundant life, bringing people to Christ. I got to be honest with you. I go to Catholic centers. Some of them are kicking your butt on bringing people to Jesus. Tom? I go to CareNet centers and I ask them, what is your evangelistic thrust? And I hear this. Well, we just kind of let the ladies, you know, if it leads to that. And I walk into Catholic centers who go, oh, and I ask them that. And they go, we use Billy Graham's Steps to Peace with God. And every person who comes through the thing, it's required that they go through that. I hear you say, I'm just going to be honest with you. I hear you say, we want to make disciples. We want to bring people to Christ. But most of your centers have nothing in place to make sure that everybody goes through some type of Christian call to that. I'm being honest, Tom. I appreciate that you guys are on that, okay? And I hear that. When a pastor looks at this and he goes, okay, you claim to have had 2,200 clients come through your door. And you write down, we had 9 decisions for Christ. A pastor goes, what are you doing? I tell you, even if it's not... I'm going to be real honest with you. Even if it's not real, a pastor knows that anybody coming to the church for free anything will get saved to get anything. And so, I'm keeping it real today, folks. Okay? This may be my last time to ever speak, but I'm just going to keep it real for you. Okay? And Tom's going, it will be. I can guarantee that. I've already made notes. No. Do you see what I'm saying? If we claim to be evangelical, then we got to ask. Okay? Evangelical. Evangel. To tell. But we don't even have in place a program for everyone who comes through the center to be told. And I understand we're not wanting to push them. But somewhere along the line, if we're evangelical, we ought to be that way. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Know what they need. Now, I would take a bathroom break here, but I'm not going to. Okay? No. But which one? Okay. It's identify your target. Just put that down there. Identify your target. Who are you talking to? Okay? If you're talking to a man, you talk differently than you're talking to a woman. I haven't done well at that today myself, but I've been talking to Tom and Mike. That's who I've been talking to. Y'all just listen in on our conversation, okay? But you're going to talk differently. I listen to pastors talk differently. Lady comes in the church and the pastor's, oh, Sister Smith, it's so good to see you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're just praying blessings upon you and your family each and every day, every morning. We pray over the church bulletin and the church directory. And a guy comes in and it's like, hey, Bob, how you doing? Yeah, I can golf on Saturday. Yeah, all right. Did you see that game Friday? Yeah, the Bears won. Woo, praise Jesus. Same pastor. He understands his audience. On Sunday, he's got to put it all together. Try a little humor for the guys, a little serious for the girls, a little, you know, somber for those who like it somber, a little bit of excitement for those who like that. Okay, he knows, a good pastor knows his audience, okay? But now, not only do we need to know our audience, but we need to know our specific message, okay? This is card number 3. Know your specific message. We looked at our mission there, right? Okay, we said, okay, here's our overall mission. I'm just going to use that one there. Save the life of a child. Transform the life of an at-risk family to thriving touching the lives of post-abortive women. We'll use that one. Okay, we know our overall message, but what is our specific message? Unless you have a message that leads with a promise to meet their felt needs, right or wrong, the listener will have no reason to stay attentive or respond to your thing. If your website leads with, we don't perform abortions, we don't fund abortions, we don't promote abortions, propagate abortions. You have the big red circle with a line through it and the word abortion underneath it. Now hold it, Mike, don't break the Karenet rules. You know it's our rule to always say the truth of who we are. Yes, I agree with that. But you don't have to lead with what you don't do. McDonald's leads with 50 million served. They don't lead with McDonald's. We don't sell spaghetti. If you want spaghetti, get out of here. I hear people say, oh, but we've got to tell them right up front what we do and what we don't do. We could be sued. You can be sued for doing it perfect. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And some of us are so afraid. I'm glad Jesus did not go, man, I don't want to do anything risky here. Because if he didn't do anything risky, we'd be on our way to hell today. Okay? Paul didn't want to risk going to prison. A little humor there. He spent his whole ministry on his way to prison. Okay? Mike, well, we got to tell people. Yes, you do, but do you have to? Does that have to be the biggest statement at the bottom of the website? Why not be smart? Anybody got an answer to that one? That was a question. Why not do like Apple does? Give me just a second. Why not? How many of you have an iPhone? An iPhone? Good. Okay. How many of you have an Android phone? Do you have to occasionally update those phones? Do you occasionally have to be given a 5-page micro writing of the things that you have to agree with? Now think about this. Here we are Christians who believe that we need to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We don't even swear. We don't even swear on the Bible. Why? Because Jesus said, you just say yes and no. Let your light so shine that they know when you're speaking the truth. And we click on, I agree, to 5 fine printed pages by a wonderful Christian organization like Apple. And we just say, I agree. Apple understands. They can bury anything in there. Now, I'm not saying you need to bury stuff, but let me give you an example. Maybe you could say, in a legal notice at the bottom, you could even call it a legal notice to make sure you're meeting all the things. I'm going to ramble through this real quick. If this site is being viewed for a medical emergency, please call 911 immediately. We do not provide emergency services or medical services at our website or our office. Duh. Emergency services need to be directed to 911 or your local hospital. I had a lawyer write this, by the way. Your doctor, hospital, medical advisory group, or the counselor of your own choice is the best place for you to find help in making any decision regarding your own health and or the termination of your pregnancy. You're even telling them right there, don't come to us. We offer the latest in 3D, 4D Doppler ultrasounds. We are limited only to non-transvaginal without the express direction of a licensed physician. Now I'm going to skip down some. Okay, must call for an appointment, verification. Additionally, we offer pre- and post-abortion counseling services, if they did get that far. Now listen to this. We do not. Do you hear me? Are you hearing out there in radio land? We do not dispense pharmaceuticals, perform first, second, or third trimester suction aspiration, comma, D&E, comma, D&C, comma, saline injection, comma, prostaglandin chemical, or provide surgical abortions. But you know what? That just reads so much better than we don't provide abortions. Why? Because you'll find yourself, the job of your website is to know your audience. Your client website, different than your donor website. Your client websites are designed to get people to call you. Do we not say we don't do abortions? We sure do. In fact, we list every possible abortion way you can have. Do you see what I'm saying here? Be smart. Why can't we be smart about this? Bruce Wilkinson, some of you know him, the great turnaround, personally stopped abortion. Sorry, that was sarcasm. I just thought I'd bring that in right there. I love Bruce. Bruce spoke at our banquet in my hometown a couple of years ago. My wife was at the event. I was at the event too that night. This coming year will be my third time to actually do our banquet in my own hometown. My wife came away from it saying this, out of all the speakers that she's heard that we've had over the years, other than myself, of course, Bruce made the clearest presentation of what the center did and what their gift would cause to happen. Often our speakers come in and they're great speakers and they talk about shutting down abortion mills around the country. Is that what you do? And they talk about overturning Roe v. Wade. How many are doing that? They don't sell what you do. And that's that you personally, one-on-one, rescue a child that was going to be dead is going to be given life. A family that is messed up is going to be transformed. Those that have been already damaged and abused and broken by the lie of abortion are going to be given the ability to breathe and live again. And then we're going to do it tomorrow. Do you want to be in on that? Do you want to be in on that? I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. Here's how you can do it.
And they close with that. What are you selling? Are you selling abortion is wrong? When you get up there, I remember I was in Kentucky. And the man got up to give the invocation. And so he gave, he was supposed to 5 minutes, he was supposed to pray, you know, he was supposed to pray, Lord bless the food so we don't choke while we're eating it. Okay? That's what he was supposed to do so we could eat. Because people love to sit there with salad in front of them going, come on, come on. You know what I'm talking about. You know, don't do that. When people come in the room, say, go ahead and start on your salad. We're going to pray for it later, post-date the prayer. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Okay? Let them, men don't like it. Men hate to sit with food in front of them, not eating. That will cost you money. You let, make a man wait for food. Okay? And then he got up there, and instead of praying for the food, he said, I want to talk to you first about abortion and what abortion is doing in this world. And I'm going, Pastor, you're not thinking about your audience. This isn't the crowd we need to convince abortion is bad. They're here because they believe abortion is bad. We're here to tell them how good the center is, how good a job the center is doing, and why this is the place they need to support. But he spent 5 minutes telling us all how bad abortion was. And then he had the audacity. Oh, that's mad. He had the audacity to get up and close it with. And in the amount of time it took me to give this invocation, 22 children were aborted. And I wanted to scream out, well, we should have not done the invocation. You see what I'm saying? This is the stuff I have to put up with, Tom. All over the country. This is why, if you hear that I just cracked up one night. Because then I have to get up after that and try to turn it all around. Because we didn't think. We didn't make sure that we knew what everybody was saying. You are not responsible. I've seen scrawlers. Paul Gordon, you've seen this too. Scrawlers at the top of the screen. They have abortion statistics all across the world. 1.2 million abortions in 2015. Are you responsible for that? Did you cause that? No. Seems to me like you were stopping that. Seems to me that that number was lower because you guys were there. Don't celebrate what Planned Parenthood is doing. Celebrate what you're doing. Did you hear? Celebrate what you're doing. You are, men want to be part of a victory. Businessmen want to join a team that works, a business model that succeeds. If they're a good Christian and they're a good businessman before God, they can't give to you if you're going to throw it away. And I have been to centers where it took everything within me to ask them to give money, guys. Because I didn't have faith in the center. Because when I heard, you understand what I'm saying. It sometimes it's a struggle as a guy who, now I do my job well. But sometimes I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes it's a struggle. Okay. Are you selling, we want to overturn Roe v. Wade? No, you're not. No. You're selling our way of being pro-life is working. Our way has the victories. Mike, come on, you're beating us into the ground. I am because somehow we've forgotten it. Somehow our message has forgotten it. Okay? Okay, move on. Move on, Mike. Okay. Message to donors. These are some messages to donors. And I wrote down here in my brackets, it says a banquet situation. Message number one. How many of you had personally had... Think of yourself as a donor for just a minute. Okay, you're a donor. I'm a pregnancy resource center. How many of you have personally had the opportunity to share with an abortion-minded pregnant girl? That doesn't happen. You know that. You have a great desire to be actively saving lives, but your life, the circles you run in, doesn't put you in contact with these girls every day. Just listen to this. Just listen to this. Don't try to write it down. Just listen to the concept. Your job prohibits you from counseling a young lady 10 hours a week. We understand. We are the best group to be your representative to those that you do not have the opportunity to reach. We are partners with you. Here's your message. Okay? Let me give you message number two. Pastor, your church does not have the staff or financial resources to successfully operate and own your own PRC. Let us be your ministry. Just what I said right there. I'm just repeating right there. I just jumped ahead of my notes. Pardon me. Right there. Okay. Ken Davis,
Great communicator. If you ever get a chance to take his Dynamic Communicator Workshop, take it, okay? Dynamic Communicator Workshop, DCW. All of us have been to it multiple times. Paul was there 3 times. He flunked the first 2 times, okay? And there. And so, anyway, it's because of his age, I think. Yeah, okay. Ken starts out by saying you can't communicate a message unless you know and your talk has what we call an ugly sentence, okay? His word for ugly sentence means that you write a sentence that it doesn't sound pretty, it doesn't sound frilly, it may not be the title of your message, okay? But it's a sentence that says, if you do this, then this will happen. And that we need to, as speakers, be presenting our talks with a way that says to our audience, if you do this, this will happen. If you give, you will be peaceful about this. If we reach women this way, then lives will be saved. If we operate Earn While You Learn, or I call them life universities because people don't understand Earn While You Learn. That's another one of those little pro-life world. Oh, we have an Earn While You Learn program. What? Yeah, I grew up with a learn or get your butt beat. That's what I grew up with, okay? You know, that was my world. You know, talking about 3 channels. I was my dad's remote control. I stood up there and changed them, right? We used to have to go outside and turn the antenna. Anybody ever have to do that? Yeah, okay, yeah. So here we go. What are you promising in your talk? You can lose three. I wrote down some examples. My wife said, what? I don't understand. I said, you can lose 3 pounds in 3 hours if you eat these 3 vegetables for 3 days. Some of you are going, oh, what is that, Mike? No, I made it up. It's a made up talk. But OK. You can have peace in your heart when you grasp one simple biblical principle. Oh, wow. I want to know that. See, I'm appealing. You know, we all want peace in our heart. We all want to lose 3 pounds. OK. Well, not Karen Carpenter, but other than that, hush, we'll edit later, okay? How many of you have ever looked at the Ginsu knife commercials or these ceramic knives that they're selling now and go, you know what? I don't think I have a knife that will cut a shoe and still make julienne fries, okay? And I don't even know what julienne fries are. Okay, someday I'd like to have those. And I don't think that my knife will do it. You know, and many times I've been sitting there right after, you know, the last episode of Tiny House Hunters. And you know, I love that show. I was up till 2 o'clock last night watching it. I did Monday nights, it's Tiny House Hunter night. And so, and then on comes the commercial, right? But what do? They sell you the need first. And they're even selling a need. Nobody has a need to cut a shoe. What are you, the shoe bomber? You're getting ready and you just, you know, that wasn't funny at all. We all flew down here. We don't want to talk about that. Okay, you know, nobody, and it also can cut a can. Good. I have been so many times I've said, I want to cut up tin cans. You know, and then it will do this. But you sit there and you go, oh yeah, but people don't buy them. Bull. Why do you think they're on TV? Because it works. Somebody tell me how Jesus spoke. Paul hit on it. Gordon hit on it. Somebody tell me how Jesus spoke to people. Stories. Called them parables, didn't he? Parables. There was a man. A certain man. Some people said that the story of Lazarus was a parable. And the name was somehow put in there. Parables. Jesus spoke in story. Number one, there's a reason he spoke in story. Is story is where we find ourselves. We don't find ourselves in lists. See, I love the save of a life of child, transform an at-risk family to thriving. You know, help a woman who's post-abortion. I love that. That's a great starter. Wonderful starter. Be as short as you can. But I want story. Let me give you an example. We were sitting in a pregnancy center in the Dominican Republic. Gordon Douglas was there. He was sitting in the audience with a group of people. I asked our pregnancy support director down there to get up. Her name is Rebecca. Okay, we have 2 pregnancy centers down there now. Okay, Rebecca is the one in charge of this particular center. Rebecca, English is a second language for her. Her first language is Dominican. She also speaks some Haitian because she has to work with Haitian people. English is a third language. I said, tell the folks what you do. And she immediately dropped into that list that we want to drop in. Well, we give away diapers to people who need diapers, and we have bottles available, and we do this, and we provide education for the women. And, you know, people who've not been familiar with the pregnancy center ministry have no concept. Okay. They're just, oh yeah, okay, you do a lot of good things. You're another mission welfare organization. You help people out. And I saw that and I stopped. At the end, I said, thank you, Rebecca. I honored her. But I said, let me put it in terms you can understand. If you look out that window there, three houses down, you'll see the house of Jamilka. Jamilka is 13 years of age. She is pregnant. Her mother has been selling her to the next door neighbor since she was 8 years old. Do you remember this? Since she was 8 years old. We can't do anything about that because the neighbor that she sells them to is on the police department. Jamilka is now pregnant. Jamilka cannot now go to the little Christian school down the hill because they have a view that says we don't want to promote pregnancy. So if you're pregnant, no matter how it happened, you're out of school because that's the Jesus way. What are we doing here? We're throwing our arms around Jamilka and trying to keep her from giving God the finger and helping her understand that God didn't do this to you. The enemy did. And we're going to help you through it, and we're going to hold your hand until we see victory on the other side. Now, let me ask you a question. Which presentation connected with your heart? Was it the list? Or was it the story? I'm going to tell you one of the big concerns that you guys deal with is I understand your desire to be honest and protective. But most of the time when you tell stories, you always say this. I'm going to tell you a story about a little girl by the name of Jamilka. That's not her real name. But we want to protect everybody who's not named Jamilka. Think about what we're doing, right? We go because we want to protect the real person. We don't care about Jamilka. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Let me tell you about a young lady in our program. See, or let me tell you about a young lady named Lazarus. Okay? Just, you don't have to distract from your story. The last thing you want to do is right up in the beginning of the story, get somebody going, what is her name? Okay, and I understand people go, well, we live in a little town and people might know. Well, then you live in a little town and they already do know. Tell the freaking story. We want to talk in stories. Jesus spoke in stories. Your website needs to contain stories. Your newsletter needs to contain stories. Your Facebook posts need to contain stories. I'm going to teach you real quick how to tell a story. I spent a lot of money at a seminar. And I've been reselling it to folks like you for the past couple of years. Anybody familiar with an organization by the name of Pixar? Have you heard of Pixar? How many remember Finding Nemo? Did you see Finding Nemo? Pixar has a wonderful ability to take these stupid little characters, put weird voices with them, and all of a sudden adults are sitting in the show, the kids are laughing, and adults are going... Pixar writers believe that unless you can tell the story short, you can't tell it long. Because what we need to do is we need to start with a skeleton of a story and then add only the details that are pertinent to the audience that we're with. If I'm telling a story, I don't need to tell the story. I always remind my wife, she gets so mad. I go, baby, they don't need to know what we were wearing when this happened. But my wife went, I was wearing this, it was a maxi dress that I got at Kohl's. It was 40% off. It was a Tuesday. And I used a special card. I already had a 5% discount on my phone. Do you have that? Do you have the discount thing that comes to your phone right there? It's like, babe, tell a story! Now I don't remember what the story was about. I know that we're at Kohl's getting a discount.
You don't want anything that distracts from your story. Let me tell you how Finding Nemo starts. Once upon a time, there was a fish named Marlin, a widower who was very protective of his only son, Nemo. Take a card out and write on one line, write once upon a time. Anybody need more cards? I got more cards. More cards? Anybody need more cards? Okay. Good. You say, why are we doing on cards, Mike? Because they're much easier to throw away at the end than they are the big pieces. Okay, not funny. Once upon a time. Every day, write that word down. Under every day, write one day. Under that, write because of that. And last line under that, write until finally. Okay, so we're going to write once upon a time. Next line down, every day. Next line down, one day. Next line down, because of that. And last line is until finally. Now listen to the Nemo story while the train goes through. Once upon a time, there was a fish named Marlin, a widower who was very protective of his only son, Nemo. Every day, Marlin repeatedly warned Nemo about the dangers of the ocean and warned him not to stray away from home. One day, in an act of independence, Nemo ignored the warnings and swam out into the open water. Because of that, Marlin sets off on a rescue mission, receiving the help of other sea creatures along the way, until finally Marlin and Nemo reunite, celebrate, and reminisce in lessons well learned. Wow, could have saved some of you $14. Until you can write any story or testimony or a client testimony that, well, Mike, they write their own testimonies. Well, stop it. Stop asking your client to write their own testimony. Don't ever ask a client to share their story. Ask them to help you share your story. It's not their fundraiser, it's your fundraiser. Right? You say, your story so much relates to what we do, so I want to take a portion of your story and drag it into how we work. You told me your story, here's your story. I got your story in six lines. And you avoid things like I smoked a cigarette, knew I need to move to Oregon, throw my baby out a window. 27 minutes is what her testimony ended up being. 27 minutes. I almost became pro-choice. It was that long and that horrible. That horrible. Folks, those five lines, six lines, because you can put because of that multiple times if you have to, can transform any story you're going to tell. Let me give you just some examples. Just listen to this for just a second. Here's a sample storyboard for you representing your center. Once upon a time. I don't like once upon a time. It sounds too story. So I'm going to use the phrase for many years. Okay, there's variations on the, you can use different words to say the same thing. For many years, the women in Salem, Oregon, Salem, right? Salem? Salem, Oregon had been lied to. Every day they were told that abortion is safe and easy and had no lasting side effects. One day, in 2001, a group of people just like you in this very room, see, I'm pulling them into it, decided to speak up for truth and Hope PRC was born. Because of that, hundreds of babies have been saved from abortion. Because of that, abstinence education is made available in the public schools. Because of that, at-risk families are being transformed to thriving families. Because of that, women who have had an abortion now have a place to find hope and healing. Until finally, we have reduced Planned Parenthood's abortion rates by 33% last year, saving the lives of the unborn, transforming families, offering spiritual and emotional healing, and doing it every single day. Write me, I'll give it to you. See how we followed the six sentences? And we said more in six sentences than you would in three pages because it was concise and to the point. Everything was for the reason. If you'll use these lines and do one sentence the same reason that you avoid on your mission statement, you avoid those big words and stuff like that, okay? Same reason, you avoid that, okay? Avoid that. Are you with me? Okay? Avoid those words. Just make it clear and simple. You don't have to say everything that you do. All right? Now we're going to look at how you would work this. What about a donor testimony? How many of you are having at your banquets donors testify? I hear it missed all the time. Okay? Now let me ask a question. Who is at your banquet? Donors or clients? Then who should testify? We're trying to relate to our audience. So yes, our audience needs to hear someone say, "Your money saved my life," but they also need to hear a donor speak up from what it's going to be like to be a donor to this organization. I believe if you're going to have one client testimony, you need to have two donor testimonies for every client testimony. And this, I know this all relates to each other, and you're going like this, it's all swirling around. And it is, but this principle of how we share our message and how we speak the language to the people that we're speaking to plays out in everything that we do. Every way we do an activity, every time we do an event, every time we do a newsletter, every time we do a presentation in a bus on the way to the airport. It all plays out. Listen to a sample donor testimony. You ready for this? My wife and I have always been pro-life. Like you, we believed all life belongs to the Lord. Okay, Mike, I thought once upon a time, always. A time, okay? I'm just setting up a time. It was a time in the past. I'm using the word always, okay? Okay, it could be, you could use the term years ago. All right, but I'm using once upon a time. Okay, stay with me here, okay? My wife and I have always been pro-life. Like you, drawing them in, okay? Because it's about you, okay? Like you, I have always believed that life belongs to the Lord. Line number two, for a long time, we wondered how we could support a pro-life organization in a way that genuinely impacted the lives of women and saved the lives of children. We didn't want to see our gifts spin around in some never-ending political battle. Like you, we wanted to make a genuine difference. Line number three. I guess it was about 4 years ago when we were introduced to CareNet of Greeley. I wrote this for Greeley, Colorado, by the way. And heard how they are truly reaching abortion-minded women and saving the lives of babies. Next line. We started supporting them with a small gift, and our connection with them through the newsletter allowed us to see the excellent work they do on a daily basis. It is phenomenal. Now, rip to the now, you following along? Now we are monthly partners with CareNet of Greeley. We love it. Finally, a place where we can know that our pro-life concerns are being met with daily success. That feels good. Here we go, last line. Maybe you are like my wife and I. Well, then you can be sure that CareNet of Greeley is the place for you. Like us, you are going to feel great knowing that you are truly saving lives. A donor testimony. 60 seconds, not 60 minutes. 60 seconds. Is there any question whether that was clear and to the point? No, not at all. Oh, how about Mike, how would this work with a client testimony? Good question, Paul. Thank you for asking that. How would that work with a college? Can you read one for me? I want to get a swallow of water. Can you read one for me? You've got it there, right there. Do the client testimony. I had great plans for college in the future. Hang on.
I had great plans for college in the future. There we go. And fell in love. Before you know it, I was pregnant. Uh-oh. It was not my desire to be pregnant. I grew up in church. I have very active Christian parents. Every day I debated in my mind what I should do. I knew I shouldn't consider abortion, but it was what all my friends were telling me to do. My best girlfriend had one when she was 16. I didn't know what to do. I certainly couldn't tell my parents. Like many of you, my parents had worked so hard to send me to college, and they would be so disappointed. One day, I started searching on the internet for some place I could
just get this taken care of, you know, quietly. I actually clicked on a website for tests for Greeley, made an appointment, and found myself at CareNet of Greeley, Colorado. Because of that, I was given good counsel. Because of that, I was able to make a decision that I and my baby could live with. Because of their mentoring programs, I was able to grow in my faith and learn how to be a great mother. Yes, my life is a little different now. I'm still in college. I'm still pursuing my goals, but I'm doing it in a different way. Until finally, I'm here tonight saying thank you to those who made sure that CareNet of Greeley is available to girls like me, that you saved my life and the life of my daughter. I want you to meet my daughter, Amber Maria. Thank you for saving her life.
Clear to the point. Help your clients tell their story. Don't require them to do your work. You do your work, which is setting up. And this is whether it's a banquet or whether it's a walk or any place where there's something shared. Make sure that you are in control of the verbiage that is coming out of your center. You have to be to know what is being said and everything you do. Now, think about this. Your people are going to read your newsletters more when they can actually have time to read it because your stories are short. When they know I can read this story and find out all the information in 8 sentences. Oh, some of them will have questions and want to know more. So let them call you. But don't throw out, in Paul said it, the world we are living in today can be defined with the word Insta. Insta. Instant. That's what they want it in. So the quicker we can deliver it and the more pointed we can deliver it, having a well-prepared, easy-to-understand story will draw a listener into your message. You need to have this type of story coming from all of your communications. Now, I want everybody to just stand up for just a second. If you would, stand up. I want everybody to open up a bag of candy at your table right there. I'm going to toss you back there. Okay? And I want you to take a piece of candy or so and pass it down right here. You guys are going to have to share right there. You guys right there. Okay, you'll share first and second row there. Don't give Gordon any at all. Okay? Stretch just a second. Stretch. Stretch a second. While you're sitting there, I am going to present you with a book. I want to give each of you a book. I'll put them at the end here. I'll give each of you a book here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Not tonight, okay? You're from a different center than they are, so you're going to have to share two right there. No, you're not, because I have one more up here. All right. Okay. Stretch just a minute. Sit back down. Stretch a minute. Sit back down. I'll put this right up here. I think that will still work. This is a book called Awaken the Mighty Men. It's one of the books that I've written. Not going to bring it up today. I'm not trying to sell you the book because I don't sell these books. Okay. In that way, this is a book to help you share why your work works with men. Okay. And that's what we wrote it for. It's a resource book for you. To use. You'll find a lot of good illustrations in there, but you will also find arguments of why men need to be involved in your organization. Okay? Good. I'm going to give you something. I'll give you that later. Okay. Something to look forward to. Do we have an extra candy there? I could go for a candy. Where are they? Just toss me one right there. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, because I need candy, as you can see. Thank you. This is Gordon and I's lunch. What time is it, Gordon?
Quarter of
what? Oh. Okay. Pete. No, well, two. Tom.
Did you say one more quick thing while he's chewing? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. It's amazing. Sometimes you prepare your stuff and you go, man, how am I going to make this last for more than an hour? And I don't know about you guys, but this is really by today. Real quick, we talked about know your mission. If you can't explain your mission, simply, you'll never be able to explain it to anybody else. The reason your board can't help you and share in the community is because most of you have a mission statement that they can't even remember. Why I love the saving the life of a child, transforming an at-risk family to thriving, and do it again tomorrow, or whether you want to do the post-abortion line. Why I love that is because people remember it. Almost every group that I've been to across the country that I've done board training with has changed their mission statement to that. Why? Because they found out that after years, none of their board could articulate what they do. And if they can't articulate it, what good is a mission statement if we can't articulate it? You know, it's kind of like going, I got a Bible, but it's locked in the closet. You know, really, if we could get there, I could show you some good truth. All right? Know your audience.